Boker Tov, or Tzaraim Tovim, good afternoon. I apologize again about the morning. Had a little false alarm. Another one, Baruch Hashem. Bezal Hashem. Okay, today's daf is daf Tzadi. We left off on Pei Tet Amud Bet, on 89b, towards the middle of the page. Also, I hope to be able to make it to give daf Yomi tomorrow, Bezal Hashem, if all goes well. So I'm aiming for in 54, around 3:30 p.m. I think they have mincha at 4, yeah. So we can do a short 3:30 p.m. daf yomi. It would be ideal if all goes well. If I'm not there, you can assume you can understand why.
Zoom or not?
No Zoom tomorrow. Okay. So I give a shiur at 2:30. I'm going to try. But I'm assuming 3:30 I'll get there because I'm giving one at 2:30. So until I get there, it'll probably be 3:30. But okay, today's class is for the Refuah Shalom HaVadachonim, Ushladam, Chemda, Barachom HaKadushan, Ibn Khan, Ucham, Nifkas, Sarabon, Meshul, Matsara, David, Marachal, Yifav, Nerav, Yifav, 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 שנה שם בן נעמי, להבדיל לנשמת דוד בן אליהו, בנימין בן יצחק, כדי לדעת המפרים שלו, משנה בן יעקב בן דן, ואז בן אברהם, דינה מתנות, אמרו חמד אברהם, משה בן רפאי סבן יוסף, שבן רב בן יוסף, יצחק בן שלמה, להבדיל לרעיון, דברה בת מרים.
רבי עקיבא בן יוסף,
אהרון בן אברהם. אוקיי, we are at the middle of the page on Pei Tet Amud Bet. 89b. Amar le mor kashisha, right before the long lines, peitet amud bet. Amar le mor kashisha bere derav chista derav ashi. Almana min ha'erusin, a widow from engagement, from betrothal, minalan de'id la ketubah. How do we know that she receives a ketubah? So the Gemara says, ilema meha, maybe it's from this beraita. Nit armela o nit garsha, if she became a widow or a divorcee, ben min ha'erusin, Ben mina nisuin, whether it's from engagement or whether it was from marriage, gova et hakol, she collects all of it. What is all of it? It sounds like the ketubah, the ikar, and the tosefet, also the extra. So the Gemara says, no, maybe over there, dilma de katavla, maybe over there, what was he talking about? That he wrote for her a ketubah, but he didn't necessarily have to. It wasn't, maybe it was just something that he did for her. Maybe he did, he's not required to write for her generally. So the Gemara says, v'chi tema I katavla maile memra. Okay, so if you're going to say that, then if he wrote for her ketubah, my lememra, what is that? You know, what chidush is there coming to teach us by him writing for us? So the Gemara says, la'apukim de Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. It's coming to exclude from the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, the Amar, that he says, shelo katav la ela almanat shehu konsa. He says that I'm only writing for her this ketubah on condition that I marry her. And the guy didn't end up marrying her. He ended up dying before they got married. So it's coming to exclude from his opinion to say that even though they didn't get married, this woman who her husband died before marriage, before the nisuin, she would still receive a ketubah. Daikanami, it's also proven, dikatane, it was taught, gova et hakol. It says she receives everything, she collects everything. What is everything? So, iamart bishlama, if you say it makes sense, dikatavla, that he wrote for her a ketubah, mishumhachi, that's why, gova et hakol, she would receive everything. Ela, iamart de lo katavla. So, but if you say, he did not write for her, right? Rashi, ela iamar b'shelo kadavah garashi, ubitnai beitin hu de gavya, le'almana mane umatayim lebetula. And it's only on the condition of the beitin that a widow would collect 100 and a betula would collect 200, hu de'id la shahre ein kan tosefet. There would be no tosefet in that case, right? So if it was the husband, it would only make sense that the husband wrote for her. That's when the woman collects everything, because she collects both. Remember we said there's an ikar, there's the main part of the ketubah, and then there's a tosefet that the husband adds on, an extra 100 or whatever. So that tosefet that she would collect in this category that we're talking about as all, would only be collected if he actually wrote for her ketubah. If it was a tnaiv de beit din, then it would only be given to her, she would only receive the ikar, she would only receive the 200 or 100, not the extra. So therefore, it must be talking about that he wrote for her a ketubah. Right? But if you say that he did not write for her, my govat akol, what does it mean? She collects all of it. There's no way she collects everything. Mane umatayim hu deitla. She only has the 100 or 200. She doesn't have any tosefet. So what are we going to say over here? So ela midetane. So what's that? Okay. So we still need a source for where we know that an arusa collects her ketubah, collects the money, even without if it was not written for her? How do we know that? How do we know if, even if it wasn't written for her, that she would still collect the ketubah? So the Gemara says, "Ve'ela midetani Rav Chiya bar Avin." From what Rav Chiya bar Avin taught, "Ishto arusa." If a woman's one's wife is only betrothed to her, betrothed to him, and dies, so lo onen velo mitamela. He does not become an onen. If let's say he's a kohen, he does not go through aninut stage, right? That you cannot perform any mitzvot. Velo mitamela, right? Rashi says le aser kodashim. He would not become asur kodashim by onen, and he would not be able to be tamet to her to go and bury her because he didn't fully marry her. They only became through arusin. They got engaged. They didn't get married. So if he's a kohen, he would not become tamet to her. Vechen he, and if also the husband died, she lo onenet velo mitamela. She would not go through aninut, and she would not become tamet to him. Right, she's not obligated to deal with his thing. This is regardless if she's a kohenet or an Israeli. It doesn't make a difference. Meta, if she dies, eino yorsha, he does not inherit her. Metu, but if he dies, gova ketubata, she would collect the ketubah. So this is where he's learning a source that an arusa would collect the ketubah even if it was not written. So the Gemara says, dilma dekatavla, maybe over here it was written to her. So the Gemara says, v'chi tema, again, we asked the same question as before. I katavla, mai lememras. If it was written for her, what is that coming to teach us? What's the chidush over there? So the Gemara says, meta eino yorsha itzarich alei. And in this teaches of a case, of the case that we just learned, that if she dies, he does not inherit her. That's what we needed. Why is that such a chidush? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, mishum meta eino yorsha itzarich alei mitnei metu govak tubata. And in it to teach, because of the case of, if she dies, he does not inherit her, so it needed to teach the case of, if he dies, she would collect the ketubah. What is that it's coming to teach us? La ashmu'inan, debekatav la ketubah askinan. That we're talking about a case, it needed to teach that we're talking about a case that he wrote for her a ketubah. Va'af agav de'ikrevu la'achtune, hulehai eno yorsha. Even though they got so close to the chatunah, so close to nisuin, so close to marriage, still, he would not inherit her if she died. Okay? That's what the chidush was. Amar le Rav Nachman le Rav Huna. He says to Rav Huna, le Rav, according to Rav, the Amar that he says, get gova ikar, that with a get, you collect the main part of the ketubah. Lichush dilma mafka gita b'hai beidina. Maybe she's going to take the divorce and go to this beidin and collect. Ve'gavya, and she's going to collect the money. Ve'hadram mifka b'veidina acherina. And then she's going to go to another beidin, ve'gavya, and collect. She could take the get and go to another beit din and collect again. Meaning, why aren't we afraid? According to Rav, that with the get you can go and collect the main part of the ketubah. Maybe she's going to take the get, go to one beit din, collect the ketubah. Take the get, go to another beit din, collect the ketubah again. She can collect the money twice. So the Gemara says, "V'chitema dekarinan le." Maybe we rip the get, so she can't do that. So what if she says, "Amra ba'ina da ensuvebe." But she says, hey, I need that divorce document to show people that I'm divorced so people don't think I'm an eshet ish. When I want to go and remarry someone, marry someone else, I need to show a document that I'm divorced. So the Gemara says, dekarinan le vekatvinan agave gita dinan karanuhi lav mishum de gita pasulhu ela delote adar vitek bebe zimna acharina. We rip it and we write that, and we write on this get, we write the following. We say, we tore this get, And we didn't tear it because it was pasul, but rather we tore it so that she doesn't go again and recollect it. That way she can show anyone, hey look, I'm divorced, they ripped it only because, they wrote over here, they only ripped it because, not because it's pasul, but because I don't go and recollect it again, but I am divorced so I can remarry. So that's what they would do in that situation. Okay, new Mishnah. Shnei gitin ushtei ketubot. If there are two divorces, a woman comes with two divorces, two gitin, and two ketubot. Govashtei ketubot, she can collect two ketubot as if the husband gave her two ketubas. Okay? Shtei ketubot veget echad. If she has two ketubas and one divorce, o ketubah v'shnei gitin, or one ketubah and two divorces, o ketubah veget umita, or let's say she has a ketubah, a divorce, and that's a regret of her husband's dying. So the Gemara says, eina gova ele ketubah achad. She would only collect one ketubah in that case. Shamegaresh et ishto vechzira. Someone who divorces his wife and remarries her, almenat ketubah harishona machzira. On that basis of the first ketubah is he remarrying her. Meaning, he gave her the ketubah, he divorced her, now he's remarrying her. On that basis of that first ketubah that I gave her, I'm remarrying her, that I'm not giving her another ketubah. It's on that first one. So she would only receive one, even if she had you know, a get and a ketubah. Okay? And a death certificate. Yeah. Right? Okay, the Gemara comes and says, Ibaya behai gavya. Ibaya behai gavya. If she wants, she can collect with this one. If she wants, she can collect with that one. Right? So, lema teve tiufta de Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Let's say this is a contradiction in the opinion of Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel. The Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, he says in the name of Shmuel, Shnei shtarot hayotzin bezeh achar zeh. If you have two documents, we saw this earlier, that come one after another, bitel sheni et harishon. The second document nullifies, it's mevatel, the first document. So meaning to say, if right now this woman comes with two ketubot, the second one, according to Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel, the second document should be mevatel, the first document, and she can only collect one ketubah. We said, no, she can collect two. So clearly it's not according to Rav Nachman. So the Gemara says, Lav itmar Allah, was it not taught on this opinion? Amar Rav Papa, umodeh Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman agrees, di'i osif be dikla letosefet katve. That if, let's say, somebody wants to come, okay, he writes a ketubah, and then he wants to add into the ketubah. So he wants to add in a dikla, a palm tree, into the ketubah. So he writes it towards the tosefet, to the additional part. You can do that. So hachanameh, so the Gemara says also over here, but the osifla, maybe he added on to it. So maybe, yeah, she's coming with two documents, but really, one of them was a document, one of them is one that he added on afterwards. So she can really collect both of them, and this could work even according to the opinion of Rav Nachman. Tanu Rabbanan. Hotzia get v'ktuba umita. If she came out with, she produced a get, a ketubah, and a proof of her husband's death. Rashi says, proves the husband's death. She came to collect, right? V'edem mita. She brought witnesses of the death. Ubad likbot shtei ketubot. She wants to collect two ketubot, one for divorce, one for becoming a widow. So flipping the amud. Im get kodem l'ktubah. If the get was before, the divorce was before the ketubah, so Govashte Ketubot, she can collect two ketubot, because what happened there, he wrote for her a ketubah, a second ketubah, whenever he remarried her, right? He divorced her, gave her the ketubah, and he wrote her a second ketubah and when he remarried her. So there, she can collect two. Ketubah kudem and leget, but if let's say the ketubah was dated before the get, so ena gova el ketubah achat, she would only collect one ketubah. Why? Same reason we gave before. Shamigaresh et ishto vehechzira amenat ketubah harishona hechzira. That somebody who divorces his wife and remarries her based on the basis of that first ketubah is he remarrying her, not giving her another ketubah. Okay, new Mishnah. Katan shesio aviv. If a child is married off by his father, and then as he grows up, he stays married to the woman when he becomes an adult. So ketubata kayemet. The woman's ketubah stays with her. She keeps it. Even though he was a child when they got married, she can keep the ketubah. Because when he became an adult, he stayed married to her. He slept with her as an adult. Okay, let's see in the Gemara. She'almenat ken kiyema, because on that exact basis did he stay with her when he became an adult. Right? Ger, shenit gaira, a convert who converts. Shenit gaira ishto, sorry, whose wife converts, imo, with him, ketubata kayemet, and he gave her ketubah, right? So Rashi explains, ger ketubah shekatav la biyoto ove kochavim. He wrote her the ketubah when he was still a goy. And then they both converted. So that ketubah kayemet.
Married and then converted.
The marriage aspect, he wrote her a ketubah for when they get married, for when they convert. So, I'm writing you this ketubah now, we're not Jewish, we're going to convert together and both become Jewish and get married. And this is going to be our ketubah. So he says that ketubah counts, because almenat ken, ketubata kayemet, almenat ken kiyema. That ketubah counts because of that, you know, he kept her on that condition. Meaning he stayed with her, even after they converted, he stayed with her. And that was his original mindset. Okay? Amar Rav Huna says, lo shanu, this is only referring to the ikar, the 100 or 200 zuz in the ketubah. Aval tosefet, but the additional part, enla, she does not receive. Right? Rav Yehuda disagrees and says, afilu tosefet yeshna, that even the tosefet, even the additional part of the ketubah, she does receive. So the Gemara says, what is this contradiction? Let's look at Rashi for a second. The first Rashi in the Gemara, ela mane umatayim, shehen tnai beitin. This is the Tanai of the Beitin. The ilu bishtar lo gavya, because if it was with a document, she wouldn't collect it. The chaspa be'almahu, because that's just like we said earlier, it's like an earthenware kli. It's nothing anymore because they're not talking on this. They're not talking about the same thing anymore. So what we're saying is that she only collects 100 or the 200, not the tosevet. Rav Yehuda says no, even the tosevet. So the Gemara says meitive. We have a contradiction. Chidshu notelet ma shechidshu. So if let's say something was added, So the Rashi explains, Katan Mishigdil, the ger.
In the case of a ger.
We're still in the case of the child and the ger. So katan mishiyigdil veger shemitgayer im hosifu klum al ketubah rishona. If something was added to the original ketubah for those people, so the Gemara says notelet mashechichu. She can take what was added. She gets to take. So what the Gemara explains, it infers from that chichu in lo chichu lo. That if something was added, yeah, she takes. If something was not added, then she would not take the tosefet. So what does it sound like? It sounds like a contradiction on who? So look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Ma shechichu v'kasalka da'atin ma shechichu al mane matayim." It sounds like what was added on the 100 or 200. So what does it sound like from here? It sounds like the opinion of Yehuda says the tosefet is collected regardless. We're saying no, the tosefet is only collected whenever it's added. Something is added. So if it wasn't added, then you would not collect anything extra. So why is the Rav Yehuda saying that? So the Gemara says, "Ema af mashachitshu." No, what it meant to say is even what was added. Meaning there's something additional that is added on top of the Tosefet, the original Tosefet, the original additional part. That's something that's added afterwards that they would get also. So this goes well with the Rav Yehuda as well. But the Gemara says, "V'ha lo tanehachi," but it didn't teach like that. It said, "Chitshu notelet mashachitshu." It said, if something was added, they take what was added. Lo chichu, if something was not added, betula gova matayim, a virgin gets 200, ve'almana mane, and a widow gets 100. It didn't say you get two tosefet. So how does this work according to Rav Yehuda? Tiyuvta de Rav Yehuda, this sounds like a contradiction of Rav Yehuda. The Gemara explains the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda matnitin ata'ite. He says, no, the Mishnah messed up Rav Yehuda's understanding. Hu savar, he thought ketubata kayemet. When it said the ketubah stays with her, akula miltakai. It's referring to the whole ketubah, both the ikar and the tosefet. Velohi, but that's not the case. A ikar ketubakai. It's only talking about the actual ikar part of the ketubah, the 100 or 200, not the tosefet that's being added. So Rav Yehuda misunderstood our Mishnah, and that's why he thought like this. Okay, hadana lacha kotev leishto. We finished the parak, starting a new parak. New Mishnah. Mishaya nasui shtei nashim. If someone is married to two women, not today, obviously, we can't handle that anymore. Back in the day. Umet harishana. And the first one died. Kodemet the man died. Harishona kodemet l'shniya. The first wife has precedence over the second wife. V'yorzeh harishona kodmin l'yorzeh shniya. And the inheritors of the first wife have precedence over the inheritors of the second wife. With regards to what?
The inheritance,
the ketubah, everything that comes from the father, husband's estate, they have precedence, they get everything. So the Gemara says, nasat harishona, if you married a first wife, umeta, and she died, Nasah shenia, then he married a second wife, umethu, and he died, shenia v'yorshea kodmin liyorshei rishona. Then the second wife's inheritors have precedence to the first wife and inheritors. Because
the children get everything, and then the wife...
Because the wife is still alive, the second wife is still alive. So since the second wife is still alive, when the husband dies, she has precedence, her inheritors have precedence, over the first wife who died before the husband died. Okay, Gemara. Midikatani, from the fact that it said, harishona kodemet l'shenia, that the first wife has precedence over the second wife, velo katani, and it didn't say harishona yesh la, it didn't say that the first wife has vashnia ein la, and the second wife does not get anything. So what can you imply from that? Miklal de'i kadma shenia v'tafsa, if the second wife went and grabbed the estate, grabbed something from the father's estate, from the husband's estate, lo mafkinan mina, we would not be able to take it away from her. Meaning to say, even though the first one comes first, precedent, since it only said precedent, it didn't say she gets and she doesn't get, she can assume that if the second one goes and grabs, she gets to keep it. So where it says, Shema Mina, we can learn from that. Baal Chov Me'uchar, also is somebody who's owed money, but you know, he's the second person that's owed money. Shekadam Ve'gava, Ma Shegava Gava. Meaning, okay, let's say you two are owed money, so... I owe you first, then I owe you second, and you come and grab from me. So now you come and grab what's owed. Since you went and grabbed, this is something that a person can make a deen for himself. Adam was a deen la'at small. He can go and grab it. He shouldn't do it, but if he does and goes and grabs it, he can keep it now. This is what we're learning from here. Sometimes we have in business also, somebody comes and...
You go first, then you pull up your money.
Not only that, sometimes somebody goes, for example, this is the example we learned when we were learning Choshen Mishpat with Rabbi Ben Chaim. So one of the examples that came up was, if let's say somebody goes and is stealing your car, and you see them stealing your car, what are you allowed to do? Are you allowed to, you know, go and make a din for yourself and go and beat the guy up, take the guy to your car and take your car back? Or do you have to say, eh, someone stealing my car, I have to call the Beit Din, I have to, you know. So according to this, sounds like Adama said din latzmo. A person can go and do what he has to do to get what he needs to get back. This is, he's owed this. Someone stole his car, you see the guy, he's driving away with it. You go do what you got to do to get your car back. Right? That's what it sounds like for me. So the Gemara says, no, le'olam emalach mashe gava lo gava. No, really, whatever the second person took, it's not considered collected. Umay kodemet. And what does it mean that the first person has precedence, first wife has precedence? Legamre katane. It meant entirely. The first person has precedence entirely to all aspects. Meaning not just if that you should give them ideally, even if the second person went and grabbed and collected, you give it back to the first wife. The first wife has complete precedence altogether. Kiditnan, as we learn in the Mishnah, is Mishnah Baba Batra, Mishnah about inheritance, ben kodem lebat, when it says a son comes before a daughter, it's referring to inheritance, so the son has precedence over the daughter in all aspects of the inheritance. Ikad Amri, some say...
If the bat grabs,
take it away, exactly. Ikad Amri, some say, middelo ketani, from the fact that it didn't say, im kadma sheniya v'tafsa, that if the second wife came and grabbed, ein motzin miyada, we wouldn't take it away from her. It didn't say that. So miklal, we can learn from that, de'i kadma sheniya v'tafsa, if the second wife went and grabbed, mafkiran mina, we would take it away from her. Because it didn't say in the Mishnah that we don't take it away from her, so clearly we would take it away from her. Shemami, no, we can learn from that. Baal chov me'uchar, also the second person who owed money, shekadam v'gava, he went and grabbed. Ma shegava, lo gava, what he collected is not his, we take it away from him. The Gemara says, no. Le'olam, really, emalach, we can tell you, ma shegava, gava. What the person collected, they collected, it's theirs. The second wife or the second person that's owed money, it doesn't matter. And since, aydi detana sheniyav yorshea, since it said that the second wife and her inheritors, kodmin liyorshea rishona, come before, have precedence before the first wife's inheritors, so we can learn from that. Tananami, it also taught harishona kodemet lishnia, that the first wife has precedence over the second wife. Meaning, the resha here, Rashi explains it. Look at the first Rashi on the second page, on Amud Bet. Resha lishna lachetchila kodemet. It was talking about a case of lachatchila. It was saying ideal case. She has precedence, right? And it didn't teach a case of in kadma v'tafsa in motzin, that if you went and grabbed, we wouldn't take it away. It's not that, oh, because it didn't teach this in the Mishnah, that if the second wife went and grabbed, we wouldn't take it away from there. So therefore, you can imply that no, we would take it away from there. No, you can't imply that. It just didn't need to state that because it was derech agav. It was speaking the Mishnah, just like it taught in the latter part of the Mishnah, it spoke in the earlier part of the Mishnah of who has kedima, who has precedence, but really it was saying that obviously we would take it away from the second wife if she went and grabbed. Okay? Nasat Rishona. We said in our Mishnah, if he went and married a first wife, she died, and then he married a second wife, and he died, so then the second wife and her inheritors have precedence. So we're going to learn three laws and we're going to end for today before Mincha. Shema Minat Tlat. We learn three things from here. Shema Minah, we learn number one, Achat bechayav veachat bemoto. If let's say one wife dies during his lifetime and one during his death, yesh lahin ketubat benin dichrin. They have the ketubah of the male children. What is this ketubah? We learned this earlier, right? That we said that each of the inheritors' children, I mean each of the wives' children, they each get their ketubah of their mother, and then whatever the father's husband's estate was left, they would split the rest. That's ketubat benin dichrin. So regardless of how many children this one had, how many children that one had, that's what the establishment was. So we learned from this that they would have this. And we're not worried that they will quarrel with one another. We're not worried that they would argue with one another. That even if, let's say, the second wife, she has, you know, she's still alive, she has children, the first wife died, still we would do this process. You get the ketubah of your mother, you get the ketubah of your mother, you split the rest. So we wouldn't be afraid that the second wife's children will come and argue and start quarreling, fighting with the first wife's children. And that's lesson number one. So the Gemara says, Mimai, how do we know that? Midekatane, from the fact that it taught, Shiniya v'yorshea kodmin liyorshe rishona. The second wife and her inheritors come precedent to the first wife and wife's inheritors whenever the first wife dies during the husband's lifetime. So what do we learn from that? Mikdam hu dekadme. They have precedence. But ha'ika shakle. But if there is money, if there's still left in the amount to give the first wife's children the ketubah of their mother, the amount of the ketubah of their mother, we would give them, they would come and take. So that's how we can learn from this. The second wife has precedence, but that doesn't mean with all grounds. Okay? Ushma minas, lesson number two, ketubah na'aset mutar la chavirta. the ketubah becomes a surplus, can be become the surplus for its counterpart ketubah. Meaning, if the second wife collects her ketubah, and there's it's exactly half of what the father's estate was. So the other wife's children, the inheritors, can come and collect their mother's worth of the ketubah, which is what the other half of the estate is. They would collect that as it would be the counterpart of the ketubah. Okay? That's lesson number two. So the Gemara says again, Mimai, how do we know that? Midelo ketani, from the fact that it did not teach, im yesham mutar dinar. It didn't say, it, right, we learned this earlier, that only when do we say this case is only when there's an extra dinar in the estate. An extra dinar, that's when... Here, look at Rashi. Rashi says, "The afagav delo takun ketubat benin dichrin elim ken yesh mutar al shtei ketubot dinar." When did the Chachamim institute this ketubah that goes to the male children, the inheritors? That's only when there's an extra dinar on top of those two ketubot. There's an extra dinar left in the estate. In this case, he's saying even though, so since it didn't say that in our Mishnah, it didn't teach im yesham mutar dinar. We can assume from here that in this case, if the second wife collects the value of the ketubah, which is half the estate, the other wife's children would collect the other half of the estate as the counterpart of the ketubah. Shema minan, lesson number three, ketubat benin dichrin lo tarfa mimisha avdei. The ketubah that goes to the male children, it cannot be taken from property that was sold by the husband. Right? De isa kada'atin, because if you think tarfa mimisha avdei, that it can be collected from this sold property, laitu bnei rishona v'litarfinu bnei mishaniya. Then the first wife's children would come to the second wife's children and take it away from them and be torefit from them. Because why? Because how would we be looking at it? Then we'd be looking at it as like a baal chov. Who's owed money first? The first wife or the second wife? The first wife. If we look at it as inheritance, the wife who's still alive when the husband died is the one who gets the inheritance first. She has precedence. Not the one who died during the husband's lifetime. So therefore, when we look at it as an inheritance, the second wife gets precedence and their children gets precedence. But therefore, if we would have said that you can be toref, you can take it from sold property, I would have thought that, hey, it's not an inheritance. That's not what this is. It's considered a debt. It's considered you have to pay a debt. And so therefore, the first wife would say, their children would come and say and take it from the second wife's children, this is ours. So therefore, for that reason, it taught us that no, you're not allowed to take it from sold property, to teach us that it's an inheritance, and the second wife and their children have precedence when the second wife is alive, when the husband dies, when the first wife died during the husband's lifetime. Okay, we'll stop there, we'll do a 1 minute recap. Okay, we started on the Amud Bet. We started off on the second half of the page. We started talking about where do we know that there is a ketubah for a widow from engagement, from erusina. We went and proved it, and we brought it back and forth. And then we had a Mishnah. We had a Mishnah at the bottom of the page. It was really talking about this new case of two ketubot and two gitin. If someone comes with two ketubot and two gitin, two ketubahs and two divorces, she can collect the value of two ketubahs if she has one and one, only one. Then we had on the Amud Aleph, Tzadi Amud Aleph, we had part number three, which is new Mishnah, which was if you have a child whose father married him off, and what did we say? We said that the ketubah stands even when he gets older, because he stays with her, and based on that knowledge that they would stay together, that's why he wrote the ketubah. Same thing for a ger and converts that they convert, they wrote the ketubah when they were goyim, so that would also take place as well, and the ketubah would stand. And we said that's only for the ikar, but not the tosefet, not the additional part, not like Rav Yehuda. Then part number four, which is the end of the daf, we had the Amud Bet, the new parak. We started out by talking about someone who had two wives, and depending on which one died, when they died. So if the first one died during the husband's lifetime, and the second, and then he married a second one, and the second one died after the husband died before the second one, the second wife. So then the second wife and their children have precedence. But if the husband died while married to both of them, then the first wife, and they're both alive, the first wife and her children would have precedence. And we said that all of those would be different, you know, factors with regards to what we said in the Gemara. If let's say the second wife, or the one who has less precedence, comes and grabs, is that considered grabbing or not? We had two different lishnas, we had two different understandings. First understanding was, yeah, it's considered grabbing. Then we said, no, that's not considered grabbing. And we went back and forth in that regard, if it's considered grabbing or not. And that was pretty much the remainder of the daf. Okay. Baruch Adonai Olam, amin v'amin. Again, so B'zal Hashem, we try for 3:30 in 54 tomorrow. 2:30 p.m. is actually.